Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome back to the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hi,
hi everybody.
Hello. Hey.
I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt, and we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and can't imagine life without the other.
And today we are joined for a very special bonus epilogue on release day. So everyone needs to give a happy, happy release day to none other than Miss Ashley Warren. Hi.
Hello. It's awesome to be on with you guys. Yes.
I'm so excited. Since finding, well, I can't even remember. Britt might have found you or you found us. I honestly can't remember. But ever since Pieces of Us, I'm like, she's got to come on this podcast. I need to talk to her about the men that she writes because I'm addicted. And then it just keeps getting better and better. I'm like, I thought that Bubbles was really going to have the cake for me. And then you asked us to beta read your newest release. And I'm like, okay, well, now I don't know really how to rank them because everyone's fighting for the top.
Yes.
Then you drop the surprise on us of what's coming next, your work in progress. I'm just like, okay, well, she's coming for all of the spots for me. So, hi, I am so glad you're here. How are you doing? How is life going leading up to release day? Like, I know this is in the future a little bit, but how you feeling? You feel like you're ready for it? Like, you have everything set in place?
I am. So, it's sort of crazy because, like, releasing three books in 1 year is a complete roller coaster.
The craziest thing. You authors are insane.
It's so impressive because His Missing Piece was your debut. So, like,
I know.
So, the past few weeks have just been kind of crazy with getting our broken pieces put together and getting it ready for ARC readers. And just today.
Because ARC's technically went out today, right?
Like a few hours ago.
Right now.
And I feel like each time you're still nervous about it. Like, I think back to His Missing Piece, mm-hmm. and I had no idea what I was doing, you guys. I was like flying by the seat of my pants. like, literally New Year's Eve last year, so December 31st.
Almost coming up on the 1 year.
I opened a Word doc and I started writing His Missing Piece, and 43 days later I had that first draft written.
It only took you 43 days for one? That is insanity.
That's
I also just love these covers for everyone
beautiful.
That's watching. They are so
like Sarah Kill Creative,
beautiful.
Adrian Hale suggested her to me. I'm buddies with her and Emerson Holt. And, like, Emerson introduced mm-hmm. me to Adrian, and Adrian was like, Sarah Kill's pretty great. Yeah.
You guys are all Texas, right?
And finding her was such a stroke of luck, and having her do all three books was perfect.
She nailed
the compliment
the covers.
Each other so
and
well.
And they only get, better. It's not like His Missing Piece is bad, but it's just like, oh, then you showed us Pieces of Us, and I was like, love it. And then it came to Our Broken Pieces, and I was like, well, we are
I remember getting a little like screenshot from Luna Lemmy, and she was like, not me and Father Lib, like, freaking out about your cover.
I lost it. The type of secrets that I have to keep, not only for this podcast, but Luna, and then the author work I do, I'm going
to
explode.
It.
And that one was hard, because I was like,
me neither. I'm terrible at it.
And then that's how Lib and I are always just back and forth. Like, we have no one to talk to about this. Okay, I guess we're going to start ranting to each other about how awesome it is. And then we were like picking out all the little details on it. And you nailed it.
But yeah,
so
like with His
good.
Missing Piece, wrote it in 43 days and then happened to find my editor on Instagram. Like, I started an author Instagram account towards the end of January. And I had never heard of, like, ARC readers. I had never heard of beta readers, alpha readers, none of that business. So thinking back on it, mm-hmm. like, I had some audacity because I wrote that book and My editor was the only person to read it before ARCs went out. And no, no,
no beta or anything.
So when I think back on it, the fact that that book still carries like something like a 4.25 on Goodreads,
it has great. Like, it has a good rating.
Yeah,
makes me want to cry a little bit,
especially for a debut. Like honestly, yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of times, I mean, there are always the one-offs and stuff, but I feel like a lot of times, like most debuts are like a 3 to a 4 star, just because you know it's someone's debut work. But then when you start getting over those fours, getting like 4.5 and stuff, I mean, that was your books are 5 stars for me. How does that, like, I don't know. I would feel so accomplished too. I'd be like, well, clearly I nailed it on the first try.
I mean, it made me realize, like, one reason I wrote His Missing Piece was because it's a reverse age gap, right? She's 39.
I was just going to say that. I love that you do reverse
we
age
do,
gaps.
We do, because
more of them.
When I came into romance, so, okay, here's the backstory.
Yeah, let's talk about, like, were you always a reader? Like, did you always like reading growing up? What led you to romance? Like, what was the first stepping stones?
I had the little, like, Pizza Hut sticker buttons where you, like, book it.
Yes, for...
Yes.
Book it.
Yes.
So I loved reading.
And, like, so many books at the library. Like, you got a pizza, like the pizza party thing for your individual size. Yes.
Always, like, took advantage of that. And then I loved, like, Sweet Valley High. Read a little bit of, like, The Babysitter's Club. Loved The Boxcar Children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I loved those.
What was this series of books where they were tiny people? And they lived in the people's house. I can't remember.
Know exactly what you're talking about, though. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That book I loved. But reading was always, like, fun for me. But I didn't understand why people loved reading until I read The Great Gatsby. That was the book. Yes.
I loved that book. I loved it. We had to do it for school reading. I'll be honest. That's how I found it. But that, I remember, was a big pivotal moment for me in reading too, like, because we read like The Great Gatsby and then we did like Fahrenheit 451 and there was just all of these new stories coming out and I was like, I think I actually really enjoy this land that we're living in.
My brain constantly tries to like figure out problems. I love problem solving. I love like surprises and everything. I like reading like behind the meaning of everything. And my lit teacher that year, it was in 7th grade, and the reason why we read The Great Gatsby was because he was teaching us about symbolism. And the amount of symbolism in that book drew me in. I'm like, wow, like there's a meaning behind everything in this book. And so I fell in love with reading after that.
Did you still dive into like some of those more like what they're considering like classics, or were you like stepping into like trying to find fantasy or like young adult?
I was into like classics and young adult. It was really funny though. Like I tried reading Wuthering Heights my senior year of high school. We had a British literature class.
Not my favorite book, but my brother loves, he doesn't even read, and then he'll be like, well, you could read Wuthering Heights. Why would
the
I
Moors,
do that, Tyler? I'm just like, I'm just like, why are we doing this? So I'm so glad you feel the same.
Because I had to pick from a list of books for British literature class and do a report about it, right? So I picked Wuthering Heights, and everyone knew that my Brit Lit teacher's favorite book was Wuthering Heights, and they're like, oh, you're such a suck up, blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, so what if I am?
I feel like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to live up to
it. I read it and I hated it. And I got up there and I gave my report about how much I hated his favorite book. And the thing of it is like, I had good reasons why, you know, I listed off all sorts of stuff. I can barely remember it now. That was like 25 years ago.
You're supporting your stance. I love it.
Literally, though.
But yeah.
But I don't blame you for not liking it. But you have balls of steel. That is incredible, first of all, that the teacher was like, okay, like, I'm not just going to be biased, but you have balls of steel, Ashley. The way my anxiety people please yourself.
That's me. Kitty.
I could never. I would probably lie and be like, this was such a good book. Changed my life.
Not me. You can tell.
So then... So, like, then as you keep reading, you're slowly, are you finding, like, the Nora Roberts and stuff in the beginning? Or did you, like, so dive into romance?
The last, like, fiction book that I really remember grabbing onto was Ruby Fruit Jungle by Rita Mae Brown. Kind of a coming-of-age novel, little okay. bit of, like, sexuality exploration and that sort of stuff. And then after that, all throughout my 20s and 30s, I lived for self-help and nutrition books. That's all I read.
Really? I have read a good couple, like, self-help books. I will be honest. My therapist is like, hey, you should probably read this. But those are, like, never what I gravitate towards. So, but I think you're the first that's been on here and said that that's what you gravitated towards.
Yeah, so I read that steadily for a good 15, 20 years. And then it wasn't until the end of 2022 that I discovered fanfic.
Okay. Oh, love fanfic. Yeah. Were you doing like AO3? So, yeah. What were you reading? What were you finding?
One Direction, Harry Styles, all members of One Direction. So I was.
There are some great.
And I veered towards like the Larry side
there really
of
are.
Fanfic. And some of the MM romance that is on AO3 is like beyond anything I've seen in traditional deal books. It is so freaking good.
Oh, there's no way some of those stories would ever make it, but they are 10 out of 10.
1,000 out of 10.
I feel that way, but I was doing like Twilight. I was doing like Twilight fan fictions before 50 Shades did come, but I was like in there. But that's how I found a bunch of Harry stuff. I was a big Zayn girl. Like, I wasn't a huge Directioner, but if I was reading the fanfic, I was definitely like, so Zayn. I'm like, what do we think Zayn is up to today? Have you ever done like Germani fanfics or anything like that?
I've never even read any of the Harry Potters or Twilight.
Ashley.
What?
I can't judge for that because I haven't done that either.
Sorry.
What?
I know.
That is so shocking, though. Not either? Wow, you just stabbed Britt and I both right in the heart in one foul swoop. That's okay. Tell me you've seen the movies.
No.
Neither? You haven't seen any Harry Potters and no Twilight?
I think I've made it through the first Harry Potter. ABC Family or whatever it showed on.
I actually think you might be the only person in the world in that category. That is honestly so funny. How do you make it this long? Like, I just feel like I knew about Harry Potter because everyone was beating into my head at first.
So
because
back
you know
in my
what I
20s,
mean?
Like my late 20s, and this is totally me going off topic.
We love it. Please always go off topic.
For like 2-3 years. And like, I paid my bills dealing and playing poker.
Nice.
The lives you've lived in this short amount of time. So, that is crazy.
I worked on the side at a Barnes & Noble cafe, so I had, like, an income check, because in the real world, you need an income check. So I was just a barista at, like, a Barnes & Noble cafe. And I was there for, like, one of the Harry Potter releases. And, like, we were there at midnight making freaking hot cocoa this and all this kind of junk.
Oh.
And I was just like, these people are crazy. Like, I don't get it.
Step at midnight to read a book.
Like, now I understand it. Like, if, you know, Liz Tomford released Rewind It Back at Barnes & Noble at midnight, freak, I'd be there. Yeah.
You would be there.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd be there with you, girlfriend.
The days I get jealous that I'm in Ohio is when all of these authors are like, I'm in New York City for a midnight release. I'm like, why don't we live there?
Might jump into Ohio to visit. Like, you watch, like, no authors come to Texas whatsoever. Ever.
Really? I thought there was a big convention, but no little signings
or anything.
But they're just like not, they're not doing like signings.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh,
but
that's a bummer.
I got off track. So, fanfic.
That's okay.
We're going to do that a million times because my brain
I love fanfic. Squirrel. Those are my favorite tangents.
Fanfic. Then I started seeing stuff popping up for the Twisted series from Anna Hong on my feed, and I was like, okay, well, I'm like reading romance essentially on my phone on AO3, like let's give it a go. So
yeah, I really like that series.
I just still haven't gotten to it. Yes, I know. I just haven't.
Everyone has their opinions about everything, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, especially book one, Brother's Best Friend, right? A little bit of, like, the drama, yeah. And like the twist at the end. And then he has to grovel to get her back in London. I'm like, hello. I think she wrote this book for Libby. I was like convinced. And I was like, okay. Did you read them all in one foul, yes, like swoop? Are they already out?
I read the first book in like 2 days and I was like, this is pretty good. So I went on Amazon and bought the next, like the rest of the series. Mm-hmm. And I was done with that within a week. Yeah. And I was like, okay, like I kind of love this.
Now what?
Which I felt like that series got even better. Like for me, I loved all of the books. But
they do get better each time, because then you go to the princess bodyguard, and then you get to the, like, the other side of the best friend's brother, and then when you end with the age gap Christian, and he's like, by the way, Harper, I stalked, like, you, and you live in my hotel.
He was it for me. He was it. I was like,
you can't tell me that Christian Grey did not have just a teeny little play in her mind with the way that man was wrote, because I loved it. And I don't normally go for age gaps, but I really liked their book. And I'm glad that it built up to them. It made sense.
And so then, of course, because the algorithm is what the algorithm is, started seeing more books popping up.
It does its job.
So I started seeing all this stuff about Haunting Adeline, and I was like, okay.
What a jump! Whoa! That is...
That's a hard left turn.
You went from Anna Wong to Haunting and Haunting Adeline? That is crazier than my Vi Keelan to Rena Kent. That is an insane jump, Ashley. Did you enjoy?
Did you read Triggers, or did you just jump in blind?
Like, I do not have Triggers.
Okay.
Like... Well, there was one.
That's good. No, that's good.
I think my
good.
Only trigger, the only trope that I won't read really is like a stepbrother situation. And I can't get past the family dynamic on that. That's pretty much.
We do not appreciate family fucking, like, in the Smut
you're
Daddy
not
household.
Blood related.
I don't like it either. Like, I know, but it's like, why'd you live together until you were 18 and then decide to get it on? Why are we doing that? I know. I try not to yuck yums, but I agree. Like, I really do have a hard time with that one. If they're like older and out of the house, like, whatever. So be it. But when they grow up together, I'm like, there was no one else in the whole world in your whole school population that you wanted to sleep with besides your stepsister?
There's really no one.
Just like, what? Like, I would literally sleep with anybody else before a stepbrother.
But, like, totally jumped into that.
So did you enjoy Haunting?
Absolutely loved it. And I will tell you, like, the one scene that, like, totally sticks out in my mind. There's always, like, one scene from all of my favorite books that, like, sticks out. And it was the belt.
The belt. I haven't read them because I'm scared, but I feel like also read them because, like, TikTok, you know, you can get like a whole
it's
book.
It's been such a long time since, like, I have read them, but I'm like, I don't think I have the capacity to read them, like, again, to refresh my mind.
She's like, you know, kneeling on the ground. He takes his belt off and, like, puts it around her neck, and I'm like, yes, you go.
Walk her like a dog. I would be kind of here for that.
Was this in the woods, or am I getting
confused?
I want to say
it was, like, by his car or something. I don't know. I can't really remember.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Okay.
I have heard the bell, and then a lot of people are always like, yeah, that
was a little weird.
Inner was something great. I remember, like, my mom read those.
Would that even be comfortable? Like, that would not even, like, do anything. I mean, it is what it is.
I think it would just be, like, cold. That's always what I think. I'm like, I bet you that barrel is cold. So what did you jump to after dark, crazy territory?
So I read those books in the month of April. And from April until the end of December, I read 263 books.
That's what I'm talking about. That's,
like,
my type of reading right there.
A 500-page book on a Saturday morning.
Same. I love it. I think it's something about our brains. We just, like, our brains are always like, look at all of it around. So then when we're reading something, we're like, focus on one thing.
Like, throughout everything, like, I don't have, like, super favorite tropes or anything like that. I mean, if you look at my top shelf, which is, like, my favorites, I have, like the Twisted series. I have Chestnut Springs. Absolutely adore that series because that was the first time where I truly understood what an interconnected series like looked like. And
yes,
her writing was
yeah, she did
such
that
an
good.
Inspiration for me, like for writing my books. Like I had to keep like a 3-page Word document of like a timeline so I could jump a little bit back and forth and keep track of people's ages and everything else. And so I love that series. And then like the Windy City series, that might be my top.
I waited so long to read it, and it's so good. But I'm also glad I waited because the last two books are, like, right up my alley.
Yes, and it's going to be, like, I'm probably going to cry tremendously just reading all of Rio's book because, like, we've been waiting for it. And then
I'm excited.
It's, like, the end of the series. Like, it's just going
to
be.
Excited, though, too, to see what, like, she comes up with next. Like, I, you know what I mean? I wonder if that's, like, pressure on her. But I am excited as someone that, like, it's not like it's a bad series for me. It's just like I waited so long to read it. I just don't think it's up there with everything else.
I'm banking on a holiday Monty book.
I wish.
I am manifesting it. I know
you.
She says it's done after Rio, and I do understand that, but I'm going to manifest.
Maybe it'll be like a bonus
novella or something.
Yeah,
there.
Like a bonus or something like that.
Charity novella. Something for Monty.
I know. Monty. Like it's kind of like the same thing with Harvey in Chestnut Springs. We just fell in love with those little side characters and like wanting to see their little happy story would just be awesome.
Well, she teed it up so well and play along with Reese her name? I feel like Reese, was that her name? Like with a little workplace enemies to lovers.
Which one?
You're asking the wrong girl. I just can't remember.
In play along Monty and the new female head.
I think so, yeah.
Reese, right?
Enemies to lovers sounds great.
I feel like you laid such great groundwork. Like, why would you not, like, capitalize on that? Is that what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know? Like, come on.
Maybe she just needs a break and then she'll come back.
Yeah.
So while you're reading all of these, are you starting to realize in your head that you have characters that need to come out of your brain?
It's so hard to find a reverse age gap with an older FMC.
I've only read a couple before you. Vanessa Vale does a couple of them, but a lot of time they are not done.
Yeah, I think the only couple that I had read was Gianna Darling, because the first one in The Fallen Men is age gap. And then Emily Rath has one in her Pucking Wild is a reverse. But I think those are the only two I could think of before I got his missing piece arc from Ashley. So
just
there
the
was
fact
more
that
need for
we
them.
Need
Absolutely.
FMCs that are older, period. You know, we're all going to age gracefully.
Yes. And I think because I was younger, obviously, I know I'm still young. I know that. But I just like didn't realize because by I've heard those topics before. Like, I wish they were older, like in their 30s and like 40s. And then now that I'm gonna almost into my 30s, I'm like, why aren't there more people in their 30s being wrote? I'm just like, we are not all 22 anymore. I'm like, I never got it until now. You know who does a great job with older characters always? Melanie Moreland. Almost all of her characters, and they have whole series where they're all older. They're all finding love and their 40s.
Nice.
And it's really great. I recommend her if you're overlooking
to
read something that
because I want to support authors that are doing it too. Because I mean, we're all aging, and the people that are in their 20s, early 30s now, I don't mind reading a college romance, but can I fully relate to that?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
Sometimes I really struggle with them. Some I feel like, oh my God, you are so young. And some I'm like, oh, okay, this is fine.
Yes,
yeah, so,
I
no
think,
problem,
yeah,
but.
Sometimes it's just like how it's wrote. It's like, okay, well, I can kind of place them also like older. Like sometimes I find myself doing that. Like, no, they're not. They're literally, they're not in high school. They're just getting their master's in college. So you're going, like, let's dive into it. So like, who came to you first for his missing piece?
Was probably Audrey. There's a lot of Audrey, or there's a lot of me in Audrey. Just like being let down by love and being older and being like, how do I start over again? I just turned 44. I am single. I've been single for 5 years. And little known fact, like that opening chapter where she's broken up with after 3 years with a guy over FaceTime, that was a real event.
No!
No! Yes.
But how therapeutic for you.
I was just like, saying, did that not help to, you yes, get that I'm written out?
Tremendously. Because it was like, I got to take that event, and it happened at the worst time, too. It was like during the pandemic. So,
oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
like,
I'm
literally
so sorry.
8 a.m. on a Monday
move.
Morning. I know.
Let's call him out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like let's blast him.
I hope that I'm like,
I hope he does. And then he's like, maybe he'll read it and be like, yeah. Damn, that was harsh. Not on like yeah. your fault. Like he was harsh. Dude, but so you did think it was like therapeutic for you to like get that
definitely
part of your story out to the world.
I got to take that event and I got to like mold it into a happily ever after. And I think that's why I wrote mm-hmm. the book so quickly was because I had written like a lot of my hopes and dreams in a man into Jax. So his character just came so easily for me. Like the way he communicates and the way he always makes Audrey feel secure. And, you know, the fact that he doesn't care how old she is. And, you know, he's just proud to be with her and he fights for her. And that just came so easily.
I mean, what more can you ask for? Yeah. It's just like putting her
but
on
in
that
a
pedestal.
Healthy way. Like ugh. He still, you know, made sure that yes. she went after her mm-hmm. dreams
absolutely.
And supported her in her things and still did his own thing. So that book just kind of poured out of me. And when I write, it doesn't, I mean, obviously yeah. if I've mm-hmm. written 3 books in 1 year, well, technically like 3.3 books because I'm like a third of the way through Dark Cowboy. Like, I
yes.
know.
I'm excited for the Dark Cowboy, I won't yes. lie. I have such a hard time reining it in. I'm like, you gotta chill, Liv. You really gotta chill for like 1 second.
One thing as an author, like, I, you know, dropped his missing piece, was completely ecstatic with the feedback on that. Just so many women saying that Audrey yeah. was relatable, and then people saying, thank God there was like an older FMC, and like, Jax is such a cinnamon yeah. roll, love yeah. him to death. So I took that momentum and I went straight into Pieces of Us. I pretty much started writing that book as soon as I sent it off to my editor, his missing piece. Dove into that, and then, like, completing Our Broken Pieces, it's just been getting a lot of my life experiences out and being able to get these characters out of my mind. And I am a complete pantser, so I do not plot anything. Like, my writing method, start with a playlist.
Oh, that's, yes. for me, everything. I love a good vibe
so
when
I'll
it comes
start,
to
like,
music.
So I'll piecing together a playlist of, like, vibe and songs and lyrics that, like, stick out to me. And once I have, like, the playlist going, then I'll go on Pinterest and I'll start, like, grabbing pictures, like, the vibe that I want in my head. And then I'm like, okay, so I have this musical vibe. I have this visual vibe. What do I think the tropes are going to be? So I'll come up with my trope list. And then I just start writing. And it, for me, it's like, it's
that
chronological. So, you know, you'll hear authors say a lot like, oh, I jump around or I'll write a scene and then I'll come back to it. Especially when it comes to smut scenes. They'll like write them 2 months before they get to it in their book. And I can't do that. Like in my brain, I'm yeah. just like, well, what if something happens? And then,
yep.
So,
yeah. And then, like, what's going to come right yep. after? That's always what I want to know, too. I'm like, what's
and
now? So, did you think it was harder to write Pieces of Us? I mean, I mm-hmm. know there's pieces of you in all of your books, but did you think it flowed as easy? Or did you think you had a harder time
it
with it, especially because
of
the tropes?
Jax is, like, the man that I know that, like, my heart needs, where Link is the man that I wish I had when I was pregnant. That man just, like, taking care of me.
Oh.
And
yes.
loving me. Oh,
he
yes.
He nailed it. He knocked it out of the park. Oh my gosh.
Obsessed with Pretty Boy. I just want to love him forever. I wish I'd do anything for him to call me Bubbles, honestly. I fell hard for him. And I love accidental pregnancies, like Secret Baby. And so sometimes I feel like it's hard to break my list of what I like. And when we were beta reading this, I was like, oh shit. I texted Britt and I was like, I'm honestly not sure what to do right now. My brain is malfunctioning by how
he's
amazing
the
he is. And then for like Britt to like it though too.
I did. I was like, I was nervous going into that beta. I'm not gonna lie. And I just kept reading and I was just like, oh my God.
It just kept getting better and better and better. I was like, what do you mean that this is over? I think that's what I added as my last beta comment. I was like, no. Yeah. Like there's actually more.
I mean, you did such a good job though of like, I would have like a moment of like, really Melanie? But like then you would be like, really Melanie? And I was like, yes. You hit all the Link marks on that book. I loved it. It's one of my all-time favorite accidental pregnancy books. People want one. I'm like, oh, I got one.
Yes.
I'm gonna like it.
Yes. So good. Who was harder in that? Do you think it was him or do you think it was her because of like you knew what you would want when you were pregnant? But did you think it was harder to tap into her?
And for that book too, it kind of has felt throughout the whole series where each book gets a little bit harder just because you're gaining a little bit more followers and you're getting noticed a little bit more.
Yeah.
And people are like, I can't wait for this person's book and I can't wait for the next one. And like you thrive off of that as an author, but also too, it's a little
bit
it's scary.
It's scary.
Yeah, those expectations.
I'm sure it adds pressure to you guys.
And it's a good pressure, though.
I try not to do it, but then I'm also really bad about, I'll be like, I cannot wait. Like, I literally bullied an author into writing a character, a whole book, because I could not stop talking about it. So I do feel bad. Like, it's the way in our in the DMs, she will be like, you really did bully me. I'm like, I know, and I'm sorry. But also, like,
you're welcome.
I'm like, greatness is coming from you though. Like I feel like I would never pressure an author, not that it's pressure, but I would never hype them up if I didn't think you guys could write it. You know what I mean? Like I think us as readers also, we don't want to be let down. So that's where I feel like where I do probably need to step back and be like, let them write what they want. But I'm like,
and
you will write this character. Do you hear me?
Like, even though it adds pressure, it also drives us. Like I have like a few readers that ever since his missing piece, they've been like, please tell me Marcus has a story coming. I need Marcus's book.
You're like, by the way,
just hold on.
You're like, where's Marcus? You're like, we have another story in between.
There's still a backstory that needs to build up between those two. But it added pressure in a good way because it's like, I want to write the best book for me first. Like, I want to write the story that I want to give those characters, but I also want to make that handful of readers feel like I cared that they wanted that book. So
yes. Do you feel like he was the most pressure since people have been looking for him the longest?
And like my first two books, very realistic, very much like all of this happens in real life, whereas the third book I just wanted to have a little bit more fun. And It went off the rails a little bit towards the end, but it came out the story that I think was meant to be their story. They needed to be a little bit more outlandish. Yeah. I needed Marcus to have like some hidden things about himself, and I needed both of them to like go through a crap ton of stuff just so that their backstory of their character came out a little bit more and they could heal throughout the book. Through each other.
Yeah.
You did a great job with them. I'm not always the biggest fan of friends to lovers, and I felt like you did them such
so
good justice.
Good.
Like they were so well paired and matched, and even though they'd been best friends for so long, like you could just feel the love and then the shift. Like you knew it was always there, but like it was just beautiful.
There's
like
something about like friends entering into like the convenience trope too. Where I'm just like, why is it so good? Because they've known each other for so long. Like, so we're going to timestamp it for everyone. So this, we're going to dive into spoilers. We're going to talk about it. Anything you want to give about Our Broken Pieces? Because I do. I want to know, because he's interesting. He has to have a connection to be in love. Like, did you know from book one that that's how you wanted to lead him, or was he molded?
He was kind of molded throughout the series. Like, I knew he was the grump of the group from book one, just because, like, I had, you know, normal, sensible Jax, and then I had goofball Link, and so I needed that, like, yes, contrast to those two, so I needed the broody guy. So I always knew he was gonna be, like, grumpy, and one thing I wanted to give him throughout our Broken Pieces is the fact that, like, he's really not a grump, he's just guarded.
Yeah, he just has walls up.
We all have walls up. And the fact that I got to shape him as demisexual, like, giving him that facet, like, that kind of helps explain his walls, too. Like, throughout all the first two books, I mean, you never saw him really talk to anybody except for one girl in Jamaica.
Broke his heart. And so, it broke his heart. I was like, why would you do that to him, Ashley? I was like, why would you do that? I mean, I like where it went, but I was like, don't you hurt him. I always stick up for the grumps and the mean assholes. I think that's why I bully authors into writing them. I'm like, what do you mean you're going to just, like, leave him alone?
He needs love.
I can fix him. It's always the guy that I love the most where I'm like, I can fix him.
But yeah. So
did you know that you wanted the friendship to play, like, a big role before the demisexual, or did they kind of play off each other at the same, like, you
I
knew
feel like that's why it pairs so well together, because they had formed
like I wanted them to be like the bonded pair of the group, that where they just, like, mesh so well as friends that you never really saw the love interest coming. So, you know, bringing them together in the first two books, and just the way they kind of meet in the epilogue or towards the end of His Missing Piece, I just love the way that they met. And then I love, you know, the small growing interactions throughout Pieces of Us. And then to have them even more ingrained in each other's lives in our Broken Pieces before all the hubbub happens. I think that was important too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you like ribbons? Me. I'm like, do you have a thing for ribbons? Did Christian Grey play a part because of ties to ribbons? I just love the ribbon. I'm like, why don't more people write about ribbon?
ribbon comes a little bit from personal experiences.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a kinky one over here. No, I love it. But I like the small details that you add into your covers. Yes. Those are the things that, like, that's why Lem and I, we were going crazy. We were like, where do you think this is going to play in? Because the other cover has bubbles. Then we have the puzzle piece. I'm just like, where is it? And then you did. We got it. And I loved the buildup. Now, I didn't read. I was a little late on my beta, so I didn't read what you changed. But I got the play-by-play from Britt. Will you talk to us about that? Will you talk about that alternate part at first? Also, I would have been fine with it. But that's a living.
I know.
So to try to be kind of vague, in the beginning of our Broken Piece, pieces, we kind of see where the two of them are coming from. So Gigi's been with Louis since, like, the first night that Link and Melanie met. So had to give the backstory on that. And then I had to kind of shape Marcus to be a little bit more secretive than we really knew. And then also too, because he is demisexual but not ace, I needed to give him that sexual factor, which we didn't see out of him through either first two books. So giving him that, like, underlying relationship or situationship that he had been in for the past 2 years behind the scenes. Originally, I had him and his situationship sleep together in the beginning of the book.
I didn't get to read it, but I'm like, would have ate that out. But, like, I do like those type of, like, I feel like
heart palpitations.
He's like typing comments furiously.
There were multiple pieces, not just that one. And I'm like, oh my God. Type, enter.
I feel like that's...
I am overheating.
But it makes sense for you because, like, I feel like a lot of the books that I do like, I enjoy T.L. Swan, but you know you're getting, like, men that need to grovel and that, like, have probably been sleeping around. And so
and the thing
I would
of it is, like, I know, and, like, the thing of it is, like, at that point, there was no concept of Marcus and Gigi being a couple or even like them looking at each other that way. So it was still safe in a sense. But what Britt and I kind of talked about was, you know, you guys are the perfect example. Britt, not about it, gave her the ick. But you, Father Lib, you're like, hey, bring it if it's smut.
I'm like, he's fine. He's allowed to sleep with whoever he wants before they sleep together. We've all done something probably before we found someone else.
Like, for me, I wanted to make sure that the readers who did have an ick for it stuck with the story, because if they never knew that was in there, then it wouldn't affect anything. But
yeah, it's not like what you changed took anything away. Like when I was reading it after, like, Britt and I were talking about it, I was just like, well, everything is still perfect, it's still great. But I also remember leaving a comment like, I would like to read that.
I can send you
just like a little bonus scene. But I do think that there, with something like that, there are, it is like a bigger split. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who will be like, oh, I hate this trope or that trope. But I do think there are people who would have been like, why are we doing this when they're not the end game?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I do understand where you were coming from. It took nothing away. The story is still fantastic.
I totally would have respected if you said thanks for the feedback.
Fuck off, Britt.
I'd be like,
I can't keep this to myself.
It was a very big scene. Like, it basically was like, I think I used the words and then I sunk into her and then it faded to black. So I could have been like, you know what, Britt, I'm going to go even harder and I'm going to like complete the whole smeg scene.
Yeah. You're like, let's get like some words in there, like licking and all of the above for that scene. I would have been like, yes, my comments would have been like, yes, I'm swooning. I literally can't stop.
Well, and then you had the ribbon in there and you had pieces in there. And I was like, pieces are so important to your books. Like, it just like, I couldn't.
I was having a freaking meltdown, you guys. I just, because I got to see her comments, even though you changed it. And so I was reading it, of course, like kind of knowing, but haven't read it. And then you're like, then the comments under it where you'd be like, I fixed it, Brittany. And I'm just like, wow, we were getting some emotions out of Britt today.
That's what I love about like having you guys as beta readers. I mean, it makes me realize, you know, like if his missing piece was already as good as I feel that book is, I love that book to pieces, no pun intended. Imagine what it could have been if I had had alpha and beta readers.
But like, it is a testament of just how good your writing can stand on its own.
I would be proud of that.
I feel like
only
honestly,
your editor read it first.
Very rarely do I, like when we've been beta reading through, am I making a comment like, this does not make sense, you know what I mean, something like the flow was off or things like that. A lot of times, sometimes I feel like I have messaged Britt before and been like, am I doing enough? Like, I feel like I read 100 chapters in a good way and I didn't need to give any criticism. I'm like, did you give criticism on any of them? Or are we just like rocking and rolling? Because your writing is so good.
That means a lot because this is a completely
it's so
new
easy
hobby
to find
for me.
Yourself just like immersed into it.
Which is just crazy too, that all of it happened this year. Just like, wow. Wow.
I gotta ask, was Cinderella your favorite Disney movie growing up?
It was Belle. But I felt like Belle was too bookish.
Like,
I feel
too
like
on the nose.
Gigi would have tied off with Cinderella and like connected with her more because Cinderella grew up with those stepsisters and she was like, you know, put out and she wasn't part of the family and like she, you know, had to do her own thing to get out. Yeah. So I feel like she could have related to Cinderella a little bit more.
I'm sorry, I was giggling because I was remembering my beta comments in that part where I'm like, where the fuck is Mulan? If we're just dropping people's favorite movies, where's Mulan? And then our other friend Vesper is always like, Renee, she's always like, that's not a real princess.
Okay. Oh, girl.
Well, let's fight about it then.
But she chose violence that day.
She chose violence that day. I'm like, well, let's fight about it. But then also it's funny though, just a random side note, when you think about like your favorite Disney princess growing up and then you're reading now, I love fantasy and girls that are going to get the job done. and will step up to the plate, and that all goes back to Mulan. So I'm like, where is it? Every time you brought up Cinderella, I was like, where is Mulan? I don't understand.
And then I'm over here loving my life.
Yeah, and then Britt's like,
I didn't even know that.
Like, oh my gosh. I know. That's why I was being such a little brat in the comments, because I was like, why are you pleasing her and not me, Ashley? So I can't believe we're leaving this world of the ladies of Back Bay.
I know.
I don't want to leave it. What do I have to do to bully you to keep going? I'm like, what do Britt and I have to do to keep, if possible?
It's really funny. I made a post today and I was like, you know, 2 weeks until the final, the final question mark installment of the Ladies of Back Bay series.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us all what that question mark meant.
Since this will air like on release, I'm not afraid to talk about this because arcs will have already been gone through and everything like that. The second epilogue in Our Broken Pieces jumps ahead 14 years and it brings us the story of Link and Melanie's son, Asher.
Because I think that was in our copy, like our beta copy. So I wasn't sure if you were leaving that in, because you know some people will do like 7 years later and then they'll be like 14 or like they'll have two.
Yes.
So that's exciting when it's a little bonus.
That I don't know if it's gonna be five books because there are five children, but I know it specifically what Asher, Millie, and Adam's stories are gonna be.
I'm so excited. I love second gen.
I love second gen as well. Did you know going in, or did it take until you were getting to the end, like, wait, there's literally more to be had?
I started thinking about second gen when I was writing the epilogue for Pieces of Us. With Link and Melanie having three kids, I started thinking about old Jax with like his glasses and like old Marcus. Yes. Like,
hot. Oh. I'm like, wait, that's hot.
Definitely.
I'd love to see some gruff older Marcus. I mean, like, you know, obviously older than now, but like, I just feel like he'll have a lot to say about his child.
Okay, I have a question about a story that you put out maybe a month ago now. Gosh, time goes so fast. I don't know when it was. But you were talking about other books or if people have read them. And I've only read one recently. And so I'm hoping you're going to do it in the second gen. Are you doing Reformed Playgirl stories?
Yes. I've only read like maybe three of those in my whole reading career.
I just read my first one, Trusting the Fall, Emmy's beta that I read. That's the first one.
And mine was like...
And it's not even out, so I don't even know
like
any that are out
to say. Mine was like a
bully
romance too. Like a Reformed Playgirl bully romance, but that was like 2020... 2021, like it's been years, so that just made me very excited.
Gushing about their little book. Like, sorry, Father Lib, but Dark Cowboy is staying very like in its box right now. But like, I might give you a few tidbits before we're through. But
that's okay. Don't worry, I'm always in your DMs anyway. I'll be like, I thought that I was doing your next content pool every day. I'm like, where are you writing? How do I break into your house? I'm like, did you write any spice today with the cowboy?
So Asher's book, first of all, it's hockey. I have wanted to write a hockey romance like since the beginning. I just felt like in the friend group for the Ladies of Back Bay, none of them, like, even though Link was in marketing with the Bruins, none of them could have been hockey players.
Yeah.
Asher is a college hockey player. It is going to be older sister's best friend. It is going to be Reformed Playgirl. It's going to be boy obsessed.
Love, love.
And then it's also, there's going to be the term good boy used a lot. Like, he might have to crawl to her.
Yes! I'm like, you don't get to drop good boy and not have them crawl to me, Ashley. I need him on his hands and knees,
like,
please.
I feel like in that, and this, I don't know if I'm going to tell you to cut this or not, but like one of the microtropes will probably be pegging.
I love it. Eat it up every time. Honestly, I wish more people wrote pegging into their stuff.
So I think that book will be really, really fun to write. And because it's so off kilter, from usual tropes and everything else, I think it'll kind of bring me back to how I felt writing His Missing Piece. And I think their story's just going to pour out of me.
Yeah.
I go crazy for a man with long hair and a man with a man bun. Like, I go crazy for it. Ooh. So
yes,
he
ma'am.
Has a man bun.
I'm like, you are talking right up Britt's alley.
You are.
For Cassian,
so,
love.
Whew. I think that book will be pretty easy
my
to baby.
Write. Need all of that and a whole Dark Cowboy series
so
next year.
So Dark Cowboy's
no
going to be a standalone.
I was saying, is this 2025?
Dark Cowboy's going to be a standalone.
I know. I'm...
I know.
She thinks that, folks. What she doesn't know is that Father Lib has a whole plan in her head. I'm like, you drop one side character and I'm going to be like,
I know.
Ashley? I'm just excited that you're doing it. I really, everyone knows, I go
well,
kind of feral
thing
for
of
a
it
cowboy.
Is,
so when you were like, by the
like
way.
It is so different from anything I have written so far. Like, so far out of the ballpark. And one comment. So right now I have the first 30% with alpha readers. Miss Brittany is one of them. But
I know.
One comment was, this is completely different than any other Dark Cowboy I've ever read before. Like,
love.
Yes.
High compliment, yes. Right?
And just being 30% of the way in, there's two of them that have made it to the end so far. And the amount of capital letters and the amount of wait what, like, and the word shook and like that can't be, like, so
shooketh.
Like the vibe is there and there's already a couple little parts where I might make adjustments on a character and then expand a scene. But with Dark Cowboy, what I'm loving is I'm actually going through every step of the process with this book down to like a title reveal. Like, I have not revealed the title yet.
I'll be honest, I'm not a very good alpha reader. I'll be straight up. People ask and I'm like, I'm way better at beta reading because I also, because the way my brain works, that's how I started doing all these content pulls. As I'm like, this song is playing while I'm reading this, so you need to be marketing it with that song and use this crap. Mm-hmm. Like, as I just did for Our Broken Pieces, the content pull, my brain was like rapid firing. I know when I said it to you, you were like, what the fuck? This is like 7 pages. I was like, well, I thought we were marketing, which I know it was good, but I just feel like that's where I thrive because like an alpha, it's not time for that. And my brain is like, we should be doing this and marketing it like this and you should make
you're
this
like,
graphic.
Wait, we
so
need
then
to make 75
when I like send you
reels.
My content pool. Yes. And so then like when I like send out the content pool and then you're like, this is perfect. And the next day you did like the first
nailed
thing.
It.
I was like, nailed it, Libby. You nailed it.
with Dark Cowboy, I'm able to like take every step of this book. So I have a title release date. I have a blurb release date. I have a trope reveal date. Luna and I sent her
That's
a
so
reverse
exciting.
Timeline of what we're doing with this book.
Yes. Well, I saw that go because we have calendars for everyone. And then I saw your calendar and I was like, we got some reveals. We got reveals going on, but I love it. I think it's so fun and it helps tease it more, helps get everyone more like hyped up and involved, like, oh, so we got the title, like, what are the tropes going to be? And I think it's such a fun process.
Especially since it's a standalone as it stands now.
Yes.
I think that's the smartest way to be going about it.
Yeah. With how I feel about this book and the amount of time and effort that I'm putting in, like, I'm trying to use everything I've learned from the previous three books and just the fact that my writing, the way that I feel reading back this story so far, I'm like, maybe I should be a dark romance writer.
And is it triggering like more ideas now, or like I know you still want to write like the second gen and saying contemporary, but do you think that there will in the future be more dark romance?
I already
romance?
Have like an Irish mafia stripper story in my head.
You're talking to the right girl for mafia, let me tell
you. I've already kind of teased a poker book.
Ooh, that would be so cool with your hit. Like, but, just because you know so much in your knowledge and your history. I mean, I'm sure you have crazy stories.
So I've teased it a little bit. I've since taken down the teasers on that one. I do believe that it is coming in the future. And that will be a darker one, but that'll be one where I don't know. The story stands as I see it in my brain right now. it will not be categorized as a romance. Yeah.
Okay. Just because, like, there's just not much sex coming into play? There's going to be a lot
of sex. It's going to be MMF. And
I'm here, folks. Well, so far, I'm honestly liking all of that. But, like, do you think it's the ending?
In that book.
There's no happily ever after, and that's why you can't say romance. Oh, you're straight to my heart. A knife just went in.
Why can't they all coexist? You can even take one of the M's out. I'm fine with that. Like, at the end, you can kill them off. But I think there should be a happily ever. Me. I'll be like, you don't even have to write a Y choose. Okay, you can just write them all fucking.
Jules, Rome, and Spencer. Jules and Rome are married. And they go around to casinos around the world. And they basically run poker tables. So they go in. Like, they're not a couple, like, they don't know each other, and they work together to take down, like, large money poker games.
Love.
Okay. Yes.
They're a hustler.
So, then Spencer comes into the mix, and starts playing poker with them, and, like, meets them at a poker game, and they end up going back and having a crazy night, and
obsessed
he becomes
with both of
fairly
them?
Obsessed. Rome falls in love.
I'm here for it.
And
so, I'm like...
Spencer becomes obsessed. I feel like that book, if that book does happen, it won't be until the beginning of like 2026. Yeah.
Yeah, it's far removed. You could really come back and dig it up for their brain. That's exciting though that you're able to plan so many things out and you do have
and
all
then...
these ideas. Sometimes I feel like authors have to stick to like just the one, what they're doing, you know, like right now. Like they might know what's next, but they can't keep like the plotting or anything going. So that is crazy.
And
your brain is incredible.
There's another book that I want to write as like a standalone based on.
Love standalones. Can I just say that really quick? Like sometimes I don't. It's not like I'm hating on series because I'm a small town queen. Like I love to live there. But there's something about a standalone. Like one of my favorite books of all times, Dr. Stanton, standalone. You're never... There's no more. You just go. I just love it. So I'm glad that you are planning out just like a few because I do think there's something so unique about them these days because they're not always
there. There's been times that I only have time for one book before something else is planned or coming along. And I'm like, I don't know where to really go. There's not really a ton of standalones I don't feel like to pick from.
Like the book that I would think about before or after the poker book as a standalone, I don't know, because the poker book would be a standalone as well. But
yeah.
It would be like based on a relationship that I've had in my life where like it spanned 15 years. Like, I just feel like I never got my happily ever after there. And I want to write my happily ever. Yeah.
What you wish the outcome would have been. I love that though.
I love that too.
I think that there is something just like, I know a lot of authors are like, well, I wrote it because I couldn't find it. Like I wasn't finding exactly what I was looking for or just like I needed to get off my chest. And that's where I feel like I fall into. If I ever like get a book out, it's just because like, I just have things that I feel like I need to get off my chest. And you know what I mean? And the only way to do it is just like to literally put it out there like on paper. And so I commend you, like, because you're already doing it with, I mean, starting right off with his missing piece. Like, I feel like you have found a good, like,
and
a good like therapy for yourself,
piece,
a good outlet.
I mean,
with your
that,
writing,
the fact that that happened to me is just so outlandish. And like, it was really funny because in Goodreads,
what, that guy's a dick. I'm just gonna keep saying it. What a
it was
dick
hilarious
that
because
guy
on Goodreads,
is.
Like, okay, so I'm an author. I love reading my Goodreads. I will look at the bad. I will look at the good. It doesn't affect me. Now, granted,
oh, you're a brave soul.
That's because she has balls of steel, folks. I told you. She has some serious knockers
on her.
I'm not going to
be for everybody. And it would be scary if I was, because then that would mean that I'm not staying true to my voice or my own stories. So it's not going to please everybody.
Yes. That's so good for everyone to hear, though.
So
truly.
I always make sure I'm, like, first off in the right headspace for it. Like, you know, it's not like I'm looking at Goodreads when I'm 2 days away from starting my period. That's not happening.
Right. You're like, those hormones are not meant for those comments
but
sometimes.
I'll, like, log in and I'll look at it because overwhelmingly, you know, they're all so positive. And my readers are just some of the greatest people on the face of the planet. And when I doubt myself or when I think about, like, golly, like, only 5 pages read on KU today. Like, why am I even doing this? I will go on Goodreads and I'll read those mm-hmm. 5 stars and those 4-star reviews. And it pumps me up yeah. again. Like, yeah. please, readers, fill it out for authors like me. I'll even read like the 1-star and the 2-star reviews. Usually the 1-stars are just people that are like a little bit, they just don't usually have very many nice things to say.
They're just yeah. trolls. That's what I call them, trolls. But sometimes I'm sure you can find, maybe like you're not going to like change your story, but I'm sure there has been yeah. good criticism that comes from it. I mean, everyone has to learn and grow.
Yeah, hopefully it's a learning experience of some sort. Piece,
like one of my 1-star reviews, they were like, the sentence structure was a complete mess. And I went to my editor and I said, hey, I'm starting to write book 2. I got this feedback on Goodreads. Do I need to research and like, you know, learn better sentence structure? Is this something that I need to do? Because I am such a baby writer. Like, I don't know anything. And she was like, number 1, get off Goodreads. And I was like, that's not going to happen.
Well, but that's not going to happen.
She said, if your sentence structure was a mess, I would have told you about it. Like, that's just your style of writing.
Yeah.
And she's like, you have 1 1-star review saying that, but you have 80 4- and 5-star reviews stating that they love your...
saying it's incredible. Yeah.
Love the flow. I love your flow. Yep.
I love your flow, and I
connected to it right away.
And I feel like you have such a good, like, unique style of the way you end chapters. Mm-hmm. I'm always saying that to you. Like, I love your flow, and then the way you end chapters, that's why I get in trouble. It's because I'm like, well, now I have to go read the next chapter, even though I'm exhausted. And then we get to the end of that chapter, and I'm like, well, fuck. Now she really has me hooked into it. I feel like every, like... 10 things like in my beta, I was like, why is the end of this so good? Like, why? Like,
so many books are like page turners. Like, they pick it up and they finish it in one go because they just like keep turning that page.
Yep.
I completely agree. Such great characters. You're character driven. And so we find a connection with these characters and we mm-hmm. just want to see how they all
end happily. So you want to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have
not that that's always a terrible thing, but like you do. You have such a good balance of everything. I feel like you figured out a really good, like you have nailed your style.
Because it was funny, we were uploading the arc today and Luna, she emailed me and she was like, 89 chapters? And I was like, yes, and 2 epilogues.
Yeah, so you sent our first beta read and it was to like chapter 40 or like 42. And I was like, okay. I was like, let's do it. Then two minutes later, like part 2. And I was like, I wonder what part 2 is. And then it was like chapters 40 to 89. And I was like, what the fuck? But I mean, I was ready. But I was like, girl, that's a book.
And it's not even
a book, but it was so good.
Long.
Okay, but some of the chapters weren't super.
No, yeah, right. But
they're short.
And it doesn't
and feel accomplished. I love those short chapters.
And it
chapters
doesn't feel like 89 chapters.
It doesn't.
Like,
no.
There are some authors, like, I mean, totally random, but like Sarah J. Maas, where you're like, how are we only on 104 when you know there's 200? You know what I mean? But with yours, it's never like you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I get more pissed, you know, the longer I'm reading. And then I'm like, we're running out of chapters and I love it. That's where I start to panic because I'm like, oh no, I need more. I always will get more.
And one fun thing I will say about, okay, so here's your couple of tidbits for Dark Cowboy. So with Dark Cowboy, I am naming the chapters. They aren't going to be numbers.
Oh. Did you know that that's, I've said it maybe 1 or 2 times on here. That's my most favorite thing ever. And I don't know why authors don't do it more. Only fantasy authors do it.
Single word.
I love it. Truly. One of my favorite
rapid fire.
One of my favorite fantasy series is Crave by Tracy Wolf. And all of her chapters in all 6 books all have different names, like, or titles. And I love it. So you've just made me even more happy because I think it's so cool and unique. Because then when you're reading it and you get to the why the chapter's called it, that makes my brain is so happy. I'm like,
do you write chapter first and then name it, or do you have a name first and then you write the chapter?
Like a couple of chapter names, and I'll expand upon this on an Instagram post. Like, I already have posts for this book, like probably enough made through February. Like, I just love this.
Girl.
I love your little work in progress updates.
And it's funny because I feel like I have to pause right now with ARCs going out and the release of Our Broken Pieces coming up. Like the last one that I posted this week was a spicy one for the first time. And one person was like, oh my gosh, Ashley, I like can't take these teasers. And I was like, well, it's the last one that you're probably going to get until January.
Yes, yeah, so you better bite your tongue.
I wanted to have it have a punch. And she's like, oh, it did.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah. You've nailed it. Success. Chapter names, like the prologue is named Ashes. The first chapter is Cold, The Boy, Amber, Sleepwalking.
Every time you say another word, I'm more addicted. I'm like, okay. I am so excited. So good. You've done such a good job teasing it.
And it's so hard for me because I, like, throughout the Ladies of Back Bay series, I was always kind of like, you know, just like shooting out whatever I wanted to like post. And so people knew the names of books. I didn't like, you know, care about like when whatever happened. But with this book, I feel like I have to be like so vague and secretive right now. And it's killing my soul because I just want to vomit to all of you guys.
Yeah, saying, you just want to share it with everybody.
Yep.
but that's the first little tidbit I'll give you. Second little tidbit, this will be my first book with two covers. We'll have a discreet cover and then we'll have a man cover that I designed.
Oh, so cool. That is incredible. Oh, I can't wait to see them.
It designed or you just have it kind of in your head and you will be doing it or it's made.
Write the book and have the measurements.
Yes, that's great. I love when there's options for covers. I think sometimes like there are times I want the model and then there are times where I want the discreet. So I love that you're giving the option.
I know.
How cool that you made it too.
Adrian and I were talking about covers and she had done some work on her last book.
Yeah, she does such a good job with her covers. And she did the Southern submission. So
I was like,
oh, you guys are incredible.
Like, can I make a cover? And she's like, you can make it in Canva. Because I sent her a graphic and I was like, because I just like made it up into like the front cover into like an Instagram post. And I sent her the graphic and I was like, what if ... like me and my Gen X ellipses at the end, right? Ever. You can
I'm never getting rid of them. So, and I'm a millennial. Dashes, the ellipses. I don't know what more they want from me, but this millennial's not getting rid of them. So you just keep doing
me
you.
Me neither.
So she sent me like her Southern submission one and she was like, I can like teach you how to do it in Canva. It's really easy. And I was like, okay. So then I started playing around with it. And she's like, whenever you upload it to Amazon, you do da, 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 da. And like, I was like, oh, well, this is kind of easy.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling like, I don't know. I feel like deep down, Dark Cowboy is going to like really kind of elevate me as an author. I feel like I'm going to gain a lot more exposure with that book
just because of what is like trending right now. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's just like I think even if people, even without like newer dark cowboys, people are just realizing that they want cowboys. Like I think for a while they were in the same boat as me, like why are we reading cowboys, like that's not my cup of tea. And so I didn't read them. And but now I feel like on threads every day I see someone literally every day say, what should be my first cowboy romance? And so I think that you are coming out with it in such a good time. And I think people are going to eat it up.
It's definitely nothing I've ever even heard of in any trope.
Well, I think you're going to pull from people that are reading dark romance and maybe wanting to try and cowboy, and this will be a good segue. Or you're going to have people that have read the traditional cowboy that want to try dark and want to try and go and this way, so you're going to meet in the middle.
Or just people that have read like a couple dark cowboys that have come out, and people that are waiting for another. So I feel like you literally have so many
readers that are going to come to you. One other genre that's completely outside of romance.
I'm so excited. I'm like, I am so, so excited to get my hands on this. You are just incredible. Like, my brain is like rapid firing because I'm just like, we went from contemporary world to this dark cowboy, but then I can't wait for the second gen. I'm just like, you got it covered. Yeah. I am, my little reader brain, happy, very happy with everything that's coming.
We aim to please.
I know that's right. Are you doing any conventions or anything in the new year, or are you trying to do it like any signings, or is there like special edition cover or anything you're trying to do?
I am toying with doing man covers for Ladies of Back Bay. We'll see if it happens.
That would be so cool. Yeah.
And then convention wise, I'm doing Kiss and Tell in Dallas in June. And then randomly a little event in my hometown of Lancaster, Pennsylvania popped up. And so...
Oh, fun.
That's not that far from me.
Lancaster, PA, books in September. And it's so funny because, like, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah, you're probably like, by the way, like, I know exactly the street. I think that's so cool that you're going
and
back to your roots,
super fun
though.
Because I'll get to, I'm taking my daughter as my assistant. And she hasn't been back to PA with me. So we're going to do all the things like Hershey and all that other sort of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you're going to have
a trip.
Yeah. You got to go to Hershey.
September, so the weather should be pretty chill. We'll probably go out and do Gettysburg and stuff like that too. Make a little trip out of it. See some people.
Oh, so fun though.
See some of my cousins maybe. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
You can give her the, like, the old tour. Like, I used to go and hang out there, and I was over there. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I'm gonna have to go to that little convention. It's not that far. Like, a quick little 2 hour
shoot across
pop
the turnpike.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that. It'll be a good little break where after I pop this child out, and then I'm like, hey, by the way, I think I'm ready for, like, a day
of
day not existing in this world, and we go to romance.
I don't know
world.
That it'll be necessarily romance-focused.
Yeah, I think I was seeing a couple things. Like, they're going to have all kinds of people. Like, all kinds of genres. And which is even cooler because I... Just a random side note. Like, I feel like I have really been enjoying, like, plot. Like, I love spice. We are never going to get away from that. But I have been like, I think I would be okay. Like, I'm going to read a fantasy series in the new year.
Yeah.
Brandon Sanderson. I know I'm going to love it. Like, I know that there's really no romance. But I know that it's going to, like, feed my plot, like... fantasy loving heart, because everyone has told me, like, you have no idea what's going on. Like, you literally think you do, and then you do not 5 books later. And I'm like, well, there's like 18 of them too. So I'm like, I think it'll be fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's like this. He's the Sarah of just fantasy. So I think it'll be cool that you can be amongst everyone else. Maybe you can find some new readers that haven't really dove
Very
in.
True.
To the romance world yet. And then there'll be people like me that are like, all I read is smut. I just really thrive off of
That's
smut.
All I will Kiss and Tell in June, because I will have just released Dark Cowboy like 2 weeks prior. So it was kind of perfect timing.
Yes. I know. Oh, I'm sad because I was going to PA or like I was gonna assist Adrian, and then I was like, oh, by the way, my due date, and she was like, it's okay. But I was like, no, I was sad. I was going to get to see everybody. I was going to get to see all of you guys. So I will have to come to Texas at some point. I'll drag Britt. Maybe one of our hangouts will have to be in Texas. We meet up in Indiana, and then we're like, by the way, we're flying to Texas. Everyone's like, what? You are so wonderful. This has been so much good information. And just for everyone else, like, I feel like there are a lot of readers and that want to write, and we have like a lot of debut authors that listen. I mean, established too, but I feel like there's always something to learn from everyone. And I feel like I think it's good. Like, we were chatting with a debut author, our friend Sam Wild, and she has the same process as you. She is very linear with it. She's like, I need to sit down and write it out. So I feel like it's cool to see and talk to so many different authors and figure out where you guys are lying. And then when you come out of left field or like, yeah, I don't plot, I'm like, what?
It's just a movie.
I overplot. I'm not even writing a book and there's like so much going on, like, in my notes really app. It's going to explode. It's really crazy when
I
write,
like, I literally watch a movie in my head that I feel like I don't control, and I write whatever I see happening. And what's really weird is when I started writing His Missing Piece, when I would stop writing, my characters in my head would freeze. Like, it was just really weird to me.
I love it.
Well, that was
it.
Nice enough to give you a
you're
break.
Like, give me like, a pause. We're waiting for I don't know what I'm doing right now. You're like, I have to like go be a mother and like do go to work, do other things. You guys have to like, chill.
It's been crazy to me, the authors and the readers that I've gotten to meet and like learn about who they are and be part of their little Bookstagram world. And I never expected that facet of it. And that has probably been, it's crazy at 44 to find not only a new passion, but a new community of people that you connect with. And so it's just been a crazy, amazing year.
This is, sometimes it gets a bad rap because we all know that the negative voices are always the loudest, but I love this community. I mean, I have found so many great friends and authors, and just like, I think it's the same for like a lot of us readers too. Like, I just don't think any of us had any idea when we started that like it would turn into any of this. Like, there's no way when I picked up a book in 2020 that I was like, I'm gonna have a podcast and we're going to talk to the coolest authors and we're going to like chat all about, like, people are going to care what we have to say about books. But I think it is so cool, the community 100%. That is behind this, no matter what anyone says. And it's a good tell, like, not that you're, I don't think you're old at all, but like, I feel like sometimes, especially like in my age group though, like, we get into this like in our head, like, we're behind, you know. I feel like a lot of people my age are like, we are behind, like, what are we doing with our lives? So I think it's nice to hear, like, I didn't, you know, you didn't start writing until 2 years ago. I mean, it gives a lot of comfort, I feel like, to a That's lot of people thing. To know, like, you can find
Just
your passion and anything
Anytime.
You want to do
it.
At any time.
And I think in my dedication for our Broken Pieces, I talk about, like, say yes, you know, find your tribe. Like, you are enough. Like, just grab that bull by the horns and do it. And you never know what a yes will bring, you know?
Yeah. Love it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And chatting with us. Everyone, you can get the first two right this moment, but also happy release day, because book three is out now, folks. When this comes out, book three is out. You can have it in your hands. Get them all. Love them all. Trust me, you're going to love them.
Amazon and Kindle Unlimited.
Yes, we are going to have everything linked down below, Facebook group, newsletter, your conventions. We will have all of that linked down below, and we are definitely making you come back on
I can't wait to discuss Dark Cowboy with you more.
I can't wait to get my hands on that beta. Hurry up. Tight. You got to hurry it up, lady. No. Until next time, guys, I am your host, Father Liv.
And I'm your co-host, Sister Britt.
And that's all she wrote. We will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Peace and blessings.
Bye, guys. Peace and blessings.